out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 15th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we're going to be dealing with a bit of a grisly subject today, so I would advise if anyone's listening to this and they've got children around, maybe they might want to listen to it later on, once the kids have gone to bed. But it is a subject that does need discussing. We're going to take a break from Brexit coverage today because the meaningful vote will be held around about 7 o'clock tonight. So I'm guessing that I will probably be discussing the results of that tomorrow. So what we're really going to be concentrating on today is the collapse of our morals and black mating rituals with regards to two news stories that I've got here. A black rapper imprisoned and raped four women and got a kick out of filming them suffer, a court heard yesterday. Andy Anokye, 31, also known as Grime Star Solo 45, threatened to shoot one fan and waterboarded another in a shower, a jury was told. Now, just bear in mind, this is a famous pop star, basically. And yet, despite all the money, despite all the fame, he's still engaging in deviant sexual activity, exceptionally deviant sexual activity, as we'll hear. He allegedly ordered one woman to call him Skepta, the name of a more successful rapper, during her ordeal. Anokye denies 31 charges, including 22 counts of rape and 5 of false imprisonment, claiming that everything he did was consensual. He also denies 2 charges of assault by penetration and 2 of assault occasioning actual bodily harm. Now, there are other reports of this that go into far greater detail, and this is one real sick Negro. And his excuse is that this is some kind of sexual persuasion of his, that it's a type of sexuality that you enjoy seeing people suffer, basically. Prosecutor Christopher Quinlan, QC, said, "We say he is a violent and controlling narcissist, a bully, a sadist who derives satisfaction and sexual pleasure from inflicting pain and suffering on women who we allege are his victims." Bristol Crown Court heard he would take women to a flat in London and film them performing sex acts over a 2-year period of abuse. Anokye allegedly drove one woman to a secluded area and ordered her to remove anything that could identify her. She had a panic attack after he told her there were people in the area that were going to shoot her, it was said. The court was told he also stabbed one woman in her leg and used a knife to strike her head repeatedly. Mr. Quinlan said he poured bleach in her mouth and he threatened to brand her with a hot iron. Now, where have we heard that before, the branding with a hot iron? Well, the 1,400 white girls that were raped by grooming gangs in Rotherham, one of those involved somebody by the name of Muhammad branding one of these white girls on her buttocks with a red hot iron with the words Mo on it, to show that she was his property, treating the girl like an animal, basically. I mean, animals are branded. That's where the idea comes from. And pouring bleach in this girl's mouth as well. I mean, this guy is really twisted. And yet he's a famous rap star. Enoki, 31, rose to fame in 2014 with the track Feed'em to the Lions. He has performed with the likes of Stormzy, Skepta, Wiley and JME, and he started out as part of the grime crew Boy Better Know in 2006. Mr. Quinlan said they don't have anything to do with this case, though their names will feature. Well, they were friends with the guy. Surely they must have known what was going on, and they must have just accepted it as, well, this was just his idea of kinky sex, I guess. The court was told one of his alleged victims contacted cops in 2017 and Enoki's flat was searched. They found evidence on his computers and mobile phones, which led them to interview three other women. Jurors heard he tried to drown one woman in a shower, and cops found searches for dacrophilia on his computer, the name for sexual arousal from another's tears. Mr. Quinlan said, essentially it means sexual arousal from another's fears. Tears and terror may have given him a sexual thrill. The trial continues. Now, this idea that there are these sexual perversions that are basically expanded from homosexuality to bestiality, necrophilia, coprophilia, and now they've got dacrophilia. Where does it end? It just continues to increase. Once you let the genie out of the bottle, once people, instead of overcoming their passions, instead of rejecting them and exercising self-control, once they give in to them, they become the slave to them, and they require more and more and more. And when you combine that with Negro sexuality, which is completely different to the white man's sexuality anyway, you get cases like this. This guy may feel that he is completely innocent, and this was just his idea of perverse fun. And where would he get that idea from? Well, he would get that idea from today's society, which says that all these sexual perversities are completely fine. I dare say in years to come, they will be advocating for dacrophiliacs' rights, to rape people and torture people. And this goes back to sadomasochism and bondage and the Marquis de Sade, who the name sadism actually comes from, in the French Revolution, who took perversity as far as it could possibly go, basically. And people ever since then have tried to expand on his ideas all the more. And it's been used to distract and control society. With all the pornification of society, men are constantly in a state of distraction. We can't form lasting relationships with women anymore because we've had far too many of them, and the idea of settling down with one partner is the more partners you have, the harder that gets to actually do, which of course then means that children are brought up in broken homes, and the cycle repeats itself, and they may desperately not want to follow in their parents' footsteps and have multiple partners, but because they've actually been brought up in a broken home in the first place, they don't actually have the pattern to follow. They don't have the blueprint to follow once they get to being an adult. They may have been brought up by a mother that may have done their absolute best, but a mother can't teach a boy to be assertive. A mother can't be a male role model. The mother is far more likely to, even if she's trying not to, is far more likely to become a female role model. And you'll end up with a boy that grows into a man that doesn't understand self-discipline and acts on his emotions and thinks that it's a good idea to cry and have hysterics and have temper tantrums when things start going badly, because he's been told that, it's a good thing that boys should cry, instead of being taught that boys don't cry. Boys need to keep their heads when everybody else is getting hysterical, because somebody needs to sort the problem out if you ever get into a situation. And if all the men have been taught, well, it's perfectly fine to be emotional, then nobody's going to be able to take the lead in in a dangerous situation. And that's just one reason for not teaching boys to cry. But we're getting a little bit off topic here. So we've got the way that society has been taught to give in to the passions and has become enslaved to the passions instead of rejecting them. And we've also got Negro sexuality anyway, which is completely different to the white man's sexuality. Now, I've got some quotes here that come from Negroes in Negroland, which is basically explorers and adventurers, and their impressions of the Negroes in the wild. And this was written about 150 years ago. The first quote, it comes from Du Chaillu's Equatorial Africa, page 75. A man pays goods or slaves for his wife and regards her therefore as a piece of merchandise. Young girls, even children in arms, are married to old men for political effect. The idea of love, as we understand it, seems unknown to the Africans. On the seashore, a man will hire you his mother, his wife, or his sister for the vilest uses, and the women are never averse if they can only obtain the wages of prostitution. So the idea of marriage, the white man's idea of marriage, just doesn't apply in Africa. It's not a part of their traditional mating rituals. The next one comes from Lichtenstein's Africa, volume 2, page 48. I have, on a former occasion, in my remarks upon the languages of these savages, observed as a thing worthy of notice that they seem to have no idea of the distinction of girl, maiden, and wife. They are all expressed by one word alone. I leave every reader to draw from this single circumstance his own inference with regards to the nature of love and every kind of moral feeling among them. And what that's basically saying is that females are seen as everybody's property. There's no difference between a girl, a maiden, or a wife. There's no difference between a child, a grown woman, and somebody else's wife. They're all fair game. Again, the next one comes from Lichtenstein's Africa, Volume 2. The wife is not indissolubly united to her husband, but when he gives her permission, she may go whither she will and associate with any other man. Nay, the stronger man will sometimes take away the wife of the weaker and compel her, whether she will or not, to follow him. So rape is just accepted. Finally, we have Duncan's Africa, volume 1, page 79. Female virtue is held in so little esteem that opportunities of infidelity are often afforded by husbands to some of his less favourite wives for the purpose of extorting money and getting rid of her. The common price of a wife here and at Cape Coast is $16. A wife is very seldom purchased when more than 20 years old, but generally when 5 or 6 years younger, so that very old men have frequently 10 or a dozen wives much younger than their own daughters. This is where this idea of what we see as pedophilia, they just see as quite natural. And the same with the Muslims. They will get married at when the girls are 10 years of age. Muhammad married his wife when she was 9 years of age. He consummated the marriage, and Muhammad is the perfect man. So they follow what Muhammad did. They therefore have child wives. Therefore, children are fair game to them. But in our society, that's pedophilia. That's not acceptable. And more we are being told that we should be accepting this. They are accepting the fact that these Muslim refugees have got child wives in places like Sweden. Pedophilia is coming in through the back door with the refugees. And just to contrast this case of extreme perversion with another case that I've got here, a rape case. This comes from Manchester in Britain, the British Manchester. Police are appealing for help to identify a man after a young woman was raped in Manchester during a terrifying early morning attack. The horrific incident happened at around 6:30 a.m. on Sunday as the victim was walking along Liverpool Road and onto Water Street. The attacker grabbed the young woman as she walked past and then raped her. He was last seen walking up Liverpool Road before police were called. So he just picked the woman up, raped her, and then just sauntered off. Investigating officers are now hoping that the public can help identify the man or provide information which can help with inquiries. Police would also like to hear from the taxi driver who originally helped the woman after the attack. The attacker is described as black, mid to late 20s, around 5'10", of slim build with shoulder-length dreadlocks. His hair is further described as parted far on one side and swept over his head. It is believed he was wearing a thick black waist-length coat, dark grey jogging bottoms, and a dark top underneath. It is believed the man had a French accent. So it's probably one of these Calais refugees, one of the Negroes that have been holed up in France, just waiting for their chance to invade Britain. Also yesterday there was a sexual assault on a train, and probably dozens more that haven't actually been reported, where non-whites have just helped themselves to women that they see passing. That I can recall instances of video footage of Negroes just masturbating in public in Ireland, right next to a billboard advertisement saying something like, allow refugees in. Their sexual behaviour is quite opposed to ours. Now, those quotes that we heard before we heard the report from Manchester were from about 150 years ago, when the Negresses would just be taken as wives, they would be bought as wives, and just any female could really be taken and used. And since then, there's been a lot more white people in Africa. We've extended the hand of friendship to them. We've tried to civilize them. We've handed over an entire civilization to them in South Africa. We've sent loads of food aid over there. We've educated them. So what are they like now? Now that they've had all this education, well, in actual fact, they're even worse than they were when Negroes in Negroland was written. And these reports come not from a far-right website, these come from Wikipedia. The rate of sexual violence in South Africa is among the highest in the world. Sexual violence is the use of force or manipulation to get someone to engage in unwanted sexual activity without their consent. During 2015 to 2016, there were 51,895 crimes of a sexual nature reported to the South African Police Service. South Africa has some of the highest incidents of child and infant rape in the world. In 2001, it was reported by the South African Police Service that children are the victims of 41% of all rapes reported in the country, while the Tears Foundation and the MRC stated that 50% of South Africa's children will be abused before the age of 18. Half the children have been raped. And of course, they go on to rape. It's part of their mating rituals. Remember that quote there, that there was no different word for a wife, a woman, or a child 150 years ago. And now we've got people that are wondering why it is that half of all the children in South Africa have been raped. Although there are varying numbers on the number of reported rapes of children, one report states that in 2000, 21,538 rapes and attempted rapes of children under the age of 18 were reported, and another from 2001 states that there were 24,892 rapes. Child welfare groups believe that the number of unreported incidents could be up to 10 times that number. 10 times that number. A quarter of a million rather than 24,000. The largest increase in attacks was against children under the age of 7. A trade union report said a child was being raped in South Africa every 3 minutes. Some cite a 400% increase in sexual violence against children in the decade preceding 2002. So there's been a massive increase in it. It hasn't gone down, and that it may still be on the rise. A third of the cases are committed by a family member or close relative. Even familial relations are totally different among the Negroes than they are among whites. A number of high-profile infant rapes appeared since 2001, including the fact that they required extensive reconstructive surgery to rebuild urinary, genital, abdominal, or tracheal systems. In October 2001, a nine-month-old girl named Shipang was raped by an HIV-positive man and had to undergo extensive reconstructive surgery in Cape Town. In February 2002, an eight-month-old infant was reportedly gang-raped by four men. One has been charged. Gang-raped an eight-month-old infant. The infant has required extensive reconstructive surgery. The eight-month-old infant's injuries were so extensive, increased attention on prosecution has occurred. So it took injuries, extensive injuries, to actually occur before they actually increased their attention on actually prosecuting someone for this. A significant contributing factor for the escalation in child abuse is the widespread myth in HIV-ravaged South Africa that having sex with a virgin will cure a man of AIDS. And, of course, how can they guarantee that the girl is a virgin? Well, they have to rape an infant because they are so sexually promiscuous from a young age onwards. And how do you think that affects the white people in the school where the Negroes are in Britain? It's going to encourage the white people to be sexually promiscuous as well, because the Negroes are, and the Negroes naturally are, but the white man isn't. Naturally, the white man struggles to remain chaste, whereas the Negroes and the Negresses are engaging in sexual activity from a very early age. And as we can see here, half of them have all been raped as children. This virgin cleansing myth exists in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Nigeria, and it probably exists all over Africa. The child abusers are often relatives of their victims and are at times their fathers or providers. Next, we've got corrective rape. Lesbians in certain parts of South Africa also face a dangerous environment. Raping lesbians, a practice referred to as corrective rape, is believed to convert them to heterosexuality. The South African government reported to CEDAW that lesbians and gays are discriminated against in many spheres. The government has been accused of condoning the practice for fear of not appearing macho. One notable case of this was the gang rape and murder of Fudi Simelane, a member of the South African football team and LGBT rights activist. 31 lesbians have died from these attacks in the last 10 years, and more than 10 lesbians per week are raped or gang raped in Cape Town alone. So 31 lesbians have actually been raped to death by the Negroes in the belief that that would turn them into heterosexuals. And the logic, the crazy, crazy illogic of their mentality even gets worse. I mean, check this out. Corrective rape is also perpetrated against gay men. A 2003 study conducted by OUT LGBT Wellbeing and the University of South Africa Centre for Applied Psychology discovered that the percentage of black gay men who said they have experienced corrective rape matched that of the black lesbians who partook in the study. Stigmatisation of male victims was said to be the cause of low reporting rates for corrective gay rape. So the Negroes are literally buggering gay Negroes in the belief that if they bugger them, that will turn them into heterosexuals. I mean, buggering the gay Negro turns the one doing the buggering into a homosexual. The more you look at Negro behaviour, the more the proof of this low IQ that they have is obvious. And what kind of logic is there in that? That to turn somebody straight, you bugger them. And the whole definition of homosexuality is somebody that engages in buggery. Let's have a look at the people that are actually carrying these rapes out. In 2014, a Western Cape study estimated that 15% of men had raped a woman who was not their partner. A Gauteng study conducted in 2010 revealed that 37.4% of men admitted to raping a woman. So almost half of them just admit to raping women. More than 25% of a sample of 1,738 South African men from the KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape provinces admitted to raping someone when anonymously questioned in 2009. Of these, nearly half said that they had raped more than one person, according to a non-peer-reviewed policy brief issued by the Medical Research Council. Now, think about that. It's obviously culturally acceptable for them to admit to it to a questioner. This is culturally acceptable behaviour. It may be classed as criminal behaviour now that we treat the blacks the same as the whites and they try to appear the same as us, but culturally it's just acceptable to do this. And then think about the danger that poses when we bring these people into our countries. Nearly 3 out of 4 men who admitted rape stated that they had first forced a woman or girl into sex before the men were the age of 20, and nearly 1 in 10 admitted to doing so before the age of 10. So 1 in 10 of them have actually raped another female before they're actually 10 years of age. And we think they're the same as white children? We think they should be treated the same as white children? They're completely different. Their instincts are completely different. Their traditions are completely different. And their culture is completely different. And incredibly dangerous to ours. Let's have a look at these child rapists, these 1 in 10 that are raping before they're 10 years old. Among children, a 2007 survey by CIET found 60% of both boys and girls aged 10 to 19 years old thought it was not violent to force sex upon somebody they knew. So that's 60% of them. 60% of them think that it's not actually rape if it's somebody that you know. And that's both the boys and the girls. This is culturally acceptable to them. While around 11% of boys and 4% of girls admitted to forcing someone else to have sex with them. So the females, some of these females are the same. They will force men to have sex with them. A study also found that 12.7% of the students believed in the AIDS virgin cleansing myth. That's despite all the education otherwise. And you've also got a problem with these teachers as well. A lot of the kids won't go to school because they know that the teachers will rape them. In a related survey conducted among 1,500 school children in the Johannesburg township of Soweto, a quarter of all the boys interviewed said that jackrolling, a term for gang rape, was fun. Furthermore, more than half the interviewees insisted that when a girl says no to sex, she really means yes. So that's a quarter of them have been involved in gang rape and they think that this is fun. This is just traditional Negro mating rituals that are going on. And we are treating them as if they're the same as white people, and if they set foot on our soil and are given our education, we think they're not going to behave like this. And this is 150 years after Negroes in Negroland was written, and they're still behaving like it. They've had their Western education. And the ones that have been brought over to Britain are still behaving like it. It is estimated that over 40% of South African women will be raped in their lifetime, and that only 1 in 4 rapes are actually reported. It is also estimated that 14% of perpetrators of rape are convicted in South Africa. So only 1 in 10 of the perpetrators are actually convicted. I dare say that the women don't report it. I mean, it's not their tradition to report it. Traditionally, there's no different word for a wife, a child, or a woman. It's exactly the same. So somebody else's child can be referred to as if they're the wife. It means that they can have sex with whoever they feel like. Whoever they see walking along, culturally, it's acceptable just to rape them. While some believe that the international community has expressed outrage over these incidents, former Republic of South Africa military intelligence officer Koos van der Merwe has said that the incident of child rape has been largely ignored by the mainstream media in the United States and the Western world in order to perpetuate the Mandela myth of the wonderful new South Africa. And it's also being covered up so that people don't realise the threat that importing these people into Western countries, the threat that that brings. They cover this up because they want people in the West, white people, when we read the newspapers and we hear about these rapes, they want white people to be shocked and surprised at this and think that it's just the exceptions to the rule. It's just the odd bad egg. It's just the odd one of them that behaves like this. And it's not just the odd one of them. It's culturally acceptable. At least half of them admit to behaving like this and indulging in this sort of behavior. It's a traditional mating ritual of them. It's the white man that respects celibacy and chastity and has a marriage ritual. The Negroes don't have that. And we're never going to be able to stop them behaving like this. They've been trying to educate them for the last 150, 200 years. And as it says on the Wikipedia, it just gets worse. The child rape just increases. And now we have this in our countries because the traitors in our governments imported them, and because the traitors in the media cover up the real reasons why these sickening acts take place against our people. And other traitors in government try to make laws to prevent us from speaking about it. The only way to deal with the Negro rape problem is to deport the Negroes. The same as that's the only way to deal with the terrorism problem, that's the only way to deal with the violent crime problem. They need to be encouraged to go back where they came from. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I'm sorry it's been a bit of a grisly subject. We'll get back to Brexit tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.